With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's DeSoto blasted a deep right. Way back, going, and gone, goodbye. And a diving catch by Nelson Robledo, who was warming up Matt Grace. Out of the crouch, lunging and diving to his left to catch the home run hit by Juan Soto. Bang, zoom, goes Soto, takes over the club lead in home runs with his second home run of the day and 28th of the year. And the Nationals continue to pour it on with their seventh home run of the day. It's the Nationals 15 and the Brewers 4.
Jay Gruden just commented on the Trent Williams holdout. We got to get to that. Also, still no green light and clearance for Darius Geis. What's going on? We will delve into that as the hour continues. Maybe check in with our pal Craig Hoffman, who's out there. On a big day today, there's a lot going on. We're starting to now get into kind of regular season mode with the Redskins. They're game planning for the first time this week for an actual game, and the dress rehearsal with the Falcons is 3 days away. Juan Soto is unbelievable, by the way. The third player in Major League history to hit 50 home runs before turning 21. He's only 20 still. Mel Ott hit 61. Tony Conigliaro hit 56. Juan Soto is now over 50 home runs in his career, tied with Mel Ott for the most multi-homer games before turning 21.
Pretty cool.
With five. Jamal Collier has the privilege of covering him day in and day out. He's the Nats beat writer for MLB.com, and he joins us on Grant and Danny. Jamal, I just hope people know how special what we're seeing is. You know, we talked about Bryce and now Rendon and what would happen if they left. Sign this dude for $100 million right frickin' now. He should be a Nat forever. He might be way better than either of them when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly one of the things that I think I've appreciated most about this year is just kind of like watching how just special it is to see Soto doing these things. I mean, we all saw it last year at 19. It was all new and fresh. I feel like I got a lot of hype. And then he's kind of doing exactly the same thing here, next season. It shows you that it's no fluke, and everything that you've seen from a plate approach standpoint, from power, he seems to be getting better defensively. You know, he kind of early on, there was the thing about the throwing a lot of breaking balls and curveballs, and you know, you don't really hear anything about that anymore. He's kind of adjusted to that. Just the way that he's able to kind of correct some of the weaknesses or flaws or anything that I've seen, and just the way he's able to make adjustments has been so impressive. I mean, I could go on and on about the guy because it's just really, really fun and really special to have this player this advanced, like you said, this early on in his career, and it kind of makes you to think and wonder what it's going to look like 5, 6, 7 years from now when he's kind of a veteran and has been through the league a couple times and has been around for a bit. So it's just fun to think about because it's just really, really a crazy couple, year and a half already to watch them be up here with the Nats.
Yeah, Jamal, that's on the good side. On the bad side is what's going on here with Sean Doolittle. And I feel for the guy. Full disclosure, I'm partial because I love the guy. He comes on our show. He's awesome. So it's hard for me to put too much blame at his feet, trying to be as objective as I can here. To me, it's a bad roster construction where guys didn't work out, whether it's Rosenthal or Barrichello or others. A lot of his usage from Davey Martinez. Just how did we get here in your mind, and where do we go from here?
Yeah, same. I think that, on one hand, him having a kind of on pace for the career high and a pitch so much, and so he would have first tell you the reason that he hasn't done it in the last couple of years, obviously, is that he's been hurt. So the fact that he's just been healthy and able to pitch this much, I think, is kind of an accomplishment that he's proud of and happy with that he was able to hold up for so long. I think that obviously the bullpen was what it was at the beginning of the year, and it was on fire, and they were trying to get back to this point from the the 19-31 start to get to this point, you know, they had to kind of go into our urgency mode. I think that, you know, I thought it was always overblown. People got, you know, annoyed with Doolittle would pitch in a 4-run game or a 3-run game or so early on, because I just, those games aren't magical. I don't think he has to be in some just magical save situation. I think that, you know, he should be used when it's the game that you need to win. And I think that was kind of early on. You know, they didn't have any other options. They didn't have any other kind of ways to go. And I think, you know, continuing and staying in that mode, I think is when I think the critiques of Davey are somewhat valid, is that, you know, over the past 2 months or so, or even 6 weeks or so, when Doolittle's almost also openly kind of been campaigning that he is fatigued and tired and kind of continues to say it every time after a couple of those rough outings, you know, about how he's starting to feel it. And the usage patterns have not kind of, you know, tapered off at all. He's still been in every one of those kind of close games and those 2 out of 3s and those 3 out of 4s and been used for multiple outs and some of those kind of things we've seen continue even after the trade deadline. So I think that's where I think the critiques come in. On one hand, I get for him, you know, he wants to pitch anytime that it's a close game, and he should be in there. I mean, he's their best option. He's their best pitcher. But there also probably should have been something somewhere a little bit sooner here to say we need to slow down on him. So that's been after hoping that 10 days will be enough and that you can sit him down for a little bit and that'll just kind of help his arm bounce back, because it's really difficult to see how this team goes very far without Sean Doolittle kind of being an automatic at the end of the game.
Jamal Collier, MLB.com. Will they have a de facto closer right now, or is it kind of Hudson high leverage fireman, Strickland in the eighth or the ninth, Rodney? I mean, I will say my one concern is that Davey does the closer robot thing where he goes, it's a 3-run game. Our closer is Fernando Rodney, and the closer is Fernando Rodney. Like, that's my concern.
Well, and he said yesterday that he was going to play the matchups and kind of go from there. I suspect that we're going to get to what you just said, too, that eventually whatever guy, whether it's Hudson or Fernando Rodney, whoever he uses in that scenario, that's who's probably going to lean to if everything is equal.
And honestly, if it's Hudson or Strickland, I wouldn't hate it as much. I personally don't trust Fernando Rodney as far as I could throw him, but like, that's me.
And I agree. I would use Rodney as the third or even maybe fourth option. You know, I think Wander Suero even earned a little bit of a higher leverage role than Rodney at this point. But I would think the mix of those three, Strickland, Hudson, and Rodney, and I would probably say Hudson, Rodney are probably just my guess. So those guys will probably get majority of the chances for save situations.
Jamal Collier covers the Nats for MLB.com. Max Scherzer is on his way back. As soon as he threw like 10 pitches the other day, he declared himself ready and nasty, and the Nats had to hold him back here. Give me sort of your prognosis. What do you expect from him first time out, just in terms of pitch count and how they're going to move him along slowly? Because like Doolittle, they ain't going anywhere where they want to go without Max Scherzer, right?
Yeah, again, same. It's difficult to see this team making any kind of a playoff run without Max being where Max was. And I think that I'm really just kind of hopeful. It's kind of a shame that we were interrupted of that such a great Max Scherzer season coming out that June where he was one of the best pitchers, you know, ever, and really in the last 2 decades. You know, that we had to kind of go right back, you know, that he had to deal with his injury and it lasted for so long. I wonder if he's going to just pick up right from where he left off there. It seems like it should not be that easy, but we've seen this guy do things like that before. I would guess that, you know, they're going to bring him along slowly. He's going to be at a 75 to 80 pitch range that first start, and they'll probably kind of work him up to maybe 90 to 100 pitches the next start before he's kind of full go. But, you know, there's going to kind of be a rehab outing in the big leagues, I would guess, you know, if and when he makes that start on Thursday. So, you know, I would probably save expectations right away from him kind of being right back to Max, but I think he seems pretty confident that now he can start to kind of build himself back up, almost just kind of in a spring training essence, just kind of get a couple starts here to get your feet under you, and then hopefully they can, you know, kind of get him, get the ground running here and get back to where he was.
Jamal, the bullpen is a problem potentially, and I get how big of a deal the Doolittle injury, in quotes, or whatever's going on with him is, over usage. However, you can see the stars aligning for this team being really Baker Mayfield dangerous here. And they would just get a play-in game potentially, and anything could happen. Max could give up a 3-run homer in the first, and then you're in a bad spot. But if they go into the playoffs, their lineup just scored 50-plus runs in 4 games. I mean, what they did the last 4 days is petrifying for an opponent. You're talking about now Rendon rolling, Turner hitting, Dozier power, Adams power, getting Zim back, Eaton is red hot, Robles is throwing guys out every night, Soto's one of the best players in the game. big hits from Suzuki. This team is not a team people would want to see with, let's say they do get the playing game. Max goes in that game, and then game one, Strauss, game two, Corbin, game three, Scherzer. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that of any of the non-division winners in baseball, and obviously the Nats still have some chance to win the division at least, but any of the non-division winners in baseball, the Nats have got to have the best just World Series odds and chances. And you're right, that you can make the case outside of obviously the Dodgers and their kind of own special juggernaut. That's not a fun matchup for the Dodgers in the first round. I mean, I'm sure that they would be hoping that any other team, kind of makes it through that gauntlet to see them. You make the case the Nats, outside the Dodgers have a case to be one of the two or three best teams in the National League. And I think that is, just somewhat remarkable. And also just kind of, you think about just how bad the bullpen was at the beginning and how bad the start was, it really makes you just think kind of where this team would be if they even got to have just an average bullpen at the beginning. But I agree, man. This is going to be one of the most dangerous teams in the league if they can get in. I think that was when I thought about the other National League playoff wildcard teams, is that you're going to get a coin flip game against Max Scherzer potentially at Nats Park. It's just going to kind of not going to be a fun thing for anybody. So I think you can kind of allow yourself to dream that if this pen is just somewhat average, and Doolittle is back to where he is, this team could really be a dangerous one and have a chance to get on a roll here in October.
Jamal, you're very thin, and you can eat whatever you want. Just reminded that life isn't fair. But you're awesome on with us, man. Always appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'm going to go get a burger right now, actually.
For that. I saw that. The chicken tenders, the tots. I saw what you did the other day.
I recommend the Popeye's chicken sandwich if you guys have not had it yet.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys – I don't know if that person
to like Jamal. I do. He's such a good dude, but this is
what makes it hard.
We view baseball through the same glasses. Yep. It's a problem, Jamal, that you just never get fatter. Thank you, buddy. Doesn't matter what he does. See you guys. It just doesn't matter. He can do anything he wants. If he puts his mind to it, he'll be skinnier the next day.
He just can't get fat. Grant, he can do anything except get fat.
Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Jay Gruden just spoke. A couple of things came out of that next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, Trent Williams, he said no update whatsoever, said that the team is preparing for week one with the guys that are there. Made it seem like not any progress has been made, that there's not any conversations going on. Doesn't it seem to you like the two sides aren't even talking? And look, they could be. I'm willing to admit that there's a great chance that Eric Schaefer or Bruce Allen are calling Trent Williams' agent behind the scenes. I just get the sense that it's a stalemate where nobody's blinking and they're not even talking. It's like two people who were good friends who are now mad at each other. And someone needs to just pick up the phone and dial, and both are too proud to. That's how this feels to me, and it's getting late, people. It's almost midnight.
I think they're doing what we're doing. I think players are doing what we're doing. I think that most of the coaches are doing what we're doing, which is, has anyone talked to Trent? I heard that he talked to this guy. Well, the guy that he gets his tattoos from talked to the guy that he gets his sandwiches from, and he said this. I think they're all starved for information. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know. And I know some fans are exhausted by it and want to make action that way. Maybe some people at the organization are exhausted by it. But I think this, you're right. This is a silent stare down where both sides feel entrenched and empowered and correct and have their hands tied for different reasons, right? The organization simply can't just start going back over and repaying guys based on dissatisfaction, regardless of the reason. They're under contract. You can't bend on this. Otherwise, this will be an epidemic. From the player's perspective, you may hold a grudge that's not being broken.
Hang on though, 1 second. I'm not saying bend. I'm not saying pay him. I'm saying talk to him. I'm saying, do you think they're having discussions?
No. And that's kind of my point here, is you feel entrenched that your position is so correct that any action will be a sign of weakness from the other party.
I guess,
that's the sense I get.
And that's what I said. You're being too give in. I'm not telling you that you need to completely kowtow and just say you held your ground and we're going to reward you. I want you to have a conversation. I need you to call him and say, hey, Trent, we need you to get in here. And if he says, no, I'm not coming in, I don't mean to play. I mean, we need to have a conversation. Just let's talk. Can you be at Redskins Park tomorrow? He says, no, I'm not flying there. You come to me. Okay.
Okay.
So you're the bigger man, I guess. I lost the game of chicken. I'm flying to you. You're my left tackle. You're my best player. You're my expensive commodity who is one of the great players at your position in the National Football League. You mean something to me. So I'm willing to lose this stare-down contest if that's what it takes. I'm willing to do that. Now, I'm not going to pay you what you want. I'm not going to lose where it matters because I'm not going to give in. I just need them to be conversing. If they're not having a conversation right now, and we have no reason to believe that they are,
mm-hmm.
Not one person has said anything that makes it sound like, yeah, we talked to Trent and you haven't heard that. Well, then what are you doing? I mean, you're just waiting for him to walk back through the door, and that's not happening, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, you can keep waiting. I mean, the conversation should be twofold. One, the responsible front office, a.k.a. Bruce Allen, and Eric Schaefer and Doug Williams, presumably, should be on the phone with teams figuring out what the marketplace is. They should be figuring out what they can get, and they should have that option on the table when presented in committee to Dan Snyder and company. The other side of it, and by the way, I do not want Bruce being the one that does it, and now I imagine Bruce would be, but I want Bruce as far away from this as possible. Remember, he's like, I'll do the fixing. I'll go to Michigan and get Kirk Cousins back here. And he couldn't believe that the answer was no. Get back on Redskins 1, clown shoe. We have no interest in talking to you about your incorrect view of this thing. I don't want Bruce Allen anywhere near this situation. I want Dan Snyder to do it. Man to man, heart to heart, you know, because they have a good relationship, right? It's the guys that Dan Snyder doesn't get along with are salespeople, executives, PR guys in the past, and the people on the business side of things, right? He doesn't get along with the Brian LaFamina's of the world. He gets along well with his players. Go see Trent Williams. Just talk. Just have a conversation. And if it's unsalvageable, we need to know that too. And that's why the front office should be on the phone right now figuring out what the value is.
I'm just surprised that they're not. You know, and I've been wrong about this thing. I feel like since I guess it's not over yet, but it seems like I'm going to end up being wrong about this since day one. Because I originally said that Trent Williams would come back through that door with his tail between his legs. And it just doesn't seem like he's going to. I thought he'd be here before week one. I thought he didn't want to be at training camp, didn't want to be at the preseason. He's mad at them, and eventually he'll just decide, I don't like them, but I'm not doing it for them. I'm going and playing football. That's what I do. Doesn't feel like that's happening. The other thing that Jay Gruden talked about was Darius Geis, who still has not been green-lighted to return. I want to get into that with you next, Danny, because he is an important part of this offense. We've talked about their offense not being good enough, not having scary weapons. Nobody's lethal. Nobody is dangerous with the ball in their hands. Darius Geis has that propensity, could be that guy, and we're not seeing him again maybe Thursday night because he still hasn't been cleared. What is the deal? Are they just being precautious in that case? Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or is there a chance like he may not actually be cleared to play in week one because they haven't given us a timeline at all? We'll get into that next on G&D here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
one more Trent thing. Have you actually talked to him at any point in the last couple weeks?
Talked?
Trent, yeah.
Maybe.
Texted?
Talked, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it is what it is right now. He's not here, so we just got to talk about the people we have.
Ah, so there you go.
Maybe.
Maybe they are speaking. Hey, Trent, come on back in here, man. Help me out a little bit. My job's on the line, and I'm going to win 5 games with Case Keenum as my quarterback, man.
That sounds like someone that's really happy to answer questions about Trent Williams.
Someone
that's thrilled to talk about it.
What's the opposite of under it, would you say?
In it, no. Around it, no. Over it.
He's over it.
He's over it.
Officially. We could talk about Trent in a second, but the convo I actually want to have with Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, who is driven by the summer sales event at Lindsay Ford and lindsayford.com, is about Darius Geis. Still no green light. I want more info on what that means exactly. Like, if week one was today, do you think he'd be cleared to play? Is this like a preseason deal?
Yeah, I kind of get that's the sense of things. Like, if this really mattered, I think he'd be good to go. I think this is a way they can kind of keep him down, not get him too antsy about playing in games. Hey, man, like, don't get too excited. You're not playing. And, you know, it's on some level managing, I don't want to say like an ego. I don't mean that as a bad thing, as a negative thing. It's managing Darius's competitiveness. It's managing his desire to go play. If you go watch the interview that we did, he's clearly just itching to get out there. And so not giving him that option, I think, is a big part of what this is about, yeah.
The word healthy, Craig, is thrown around, and I think it means different things maybe to different people. Colt McCoy a few weeks ago said, I'm healthy, and it turns out now we know he wasn't 100%, so maybe he was healthy enough to try to play, and maybe he damaged himself more. I mean, what is Darius Geis' health? Like, you've talked to him. What does he say about right now? Is he 100%?
I don't know about 100% because, like, part of health when you're talking about coming back specifically from an ACL is mental health in terms of, are you confident in the leg? And until he goes out there and gets hit and gets back up, I think it's impossible to be at 100%. I think he's ready to go try. So whatever percent that is, I think structurally everything is good. I think strength-wise, I think he's all right. But until he goes out and does it, I don't think he would say, like, yep, 100%, good to go, no problems. I feel like I have no worries at all. I think there's that final mental hurdle, which is also why, by the way, I would play him on Thursday if he's capable from all the other stuff standpoint. I want him over that hurdle going into week one, not having week one as the final hurdle.
But you're betting a lot of money he'd play week – he'll be ready for week one. He'll be active.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of money to bet, but if I did, sure.
Right, exactly.
At Craig Hoffman on Twitter. Must follow if you care about the Redskins. Well, so, Craig, this is what I have said, and you tell me where I'm wrong here. It's not some random coincidence that Adrian Peterson came back. He didn't come back to split carries. That's been really bad for him the last couple seasons, whether it's Arizona, New Orleans, et cetera. They didn't draft Bryce Love. Obviously, it probably wouldn't be for the first several games, first half, even maybe all of this year, just because he was the best available guy in the fourth round. I think they're telling you something about the position and about maybe the long-term prognosis on Darius Geis. Your thoughts?
I think they definitely want to be able to manage Darius' load. Like, I don't think that they want him to be a 350-carry guy. I think if you look at a much smaller number, you know, where he's averaging maybe 15 carries a game instead of 20, 25, especially early, yeah, that's a huge priority for them. I think Bryce is more of Chris Thompson long-term insurance than Darius long-term insurance, although Bryce is big enough and strong enough that he can play off of Darius. Like, that's your duo for the future. But ultimately, you're looking at Darius as the guy who's going to be your feature back, and you have to manage him accordingly. You know, this isn't just a week 1 through 4 play. This is we have to get him through 16, because if we want to get where we want to go, he's going to be the guy that's the game changer for us. You know, this offense needs big plays, and he's one of the guys that can make them. So, Adrian, I think knowing that if even Darius can't go week 1 at all, if that were to be the case, like, you can give Adrian 25 carries. He can handle it, and that's why you bring that guy back. Not to mention, I think he's a guy they wanted back for mentorship reasons, even if it's not directly, hey, I do everything I do. Like, they want Darius to see how Adrian works, to see what it takes to do that. So, or to perform at the level that Adrian has for so long. So It's a long answer. I don't know if it really answers your question, but that's kind of, you know, where my head goes when you ask it that way, is like, why are these guys back? Are they concerned about Darius? Yes, because it's a serious injury that he's coming back from, but it's not like they don't think he's going to come back. And the insurance plan is Adrian's going to be the featured guy here the entire season.
Greg Hoffman is with us on Grant and Danny. Let's hop to another lily pad and stay dry here. Trent Williams. We just heard the cut coming in. It sounds like Jay Gruden's been in contact with him, I suppose, but didn't divulge much. Danny and I were just saying it would be a problem, and part of my frustration is I don't get the sense they're talking to him a lot. Like, I want the conversation to be a daily thing. What's your understanding of how much they are discussing his future with him?
Yeah, I don't get the sense that it's a whole lot. I mean, I think there is something happening. I think there's some kind of negotiations, feelers. But in order to call it really a negotiation, I think there'd have to be some kind of firm offer given. And I think that's where neither side is blinking. Like, I don't think the Redskins want to go, well, okay, here we're going to offer you this money guaranteed. Will you come back now? You know, they kind of want to be like, hey, what do you want? And Trent doesn't obviously want to answer that question because he wants to see, and especially with how he sees the medical situation, it's my understanding. Obviously, I haven't talked directly to Trent, but it's my understanding that he thinks they should make the first move. It's kind of a make good for whatever happened medically. So that's kind of where I think things stand. I haven't been told that they've moved a whole lot. It sounds like there's been some contact. I think that whatever role Jay plays in this negotiation is probably much more of a, hey, like, you're awesome in football and we miss you kind of role versus and saying, hey, we still have a spot for you versus what Bruce's job is, which is the tough part. It's actually figuring out the contractual stuff to make him come back while also not sinking their cap and all those kinds of things, and making the tough call of, you know, long-term, 2 years, let's say, even if it's not super long-term, are we ready to commit to a guy who, from an injury standpoint, it has not been reliable the last couple of years. So it's a tough negotiation. I don't know that there's a great solution you know, other than one that is fairly in the middle and that both sides are okay with but also not thrilled with, because that's kind of how negotiations work.
Greg, thanks for the quick hit, man. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, you got it. See you, guys.
Buddy. Wanted to get Craig to hop on here with everything going on out at the park. Driven by the summer sales event, Lindsay Ford, lindsayford.com, 0% financing, up to 130% of KBB for trades and no payments till fall. You're going to love it at lindsayford.com. Lindsay's my guys. I'm a Lindsay Chevy guy myself. Drive the old Chevy Cruze, thanks to my pal, their GM, Paul Smith. All right, Danny, I've got a little game prepared. Hands in the
go.
Air
Here we go.
Like
Here we
you
go.
Just don't care. You ready?
All right.
The preseason AP Top 25 College Football came out today. I want to know how many teams in the top 10, hands up in the air. I don't want any computer clicking. How many teams in the top 10, Danny Ruye, can you name? And the reason I bring this up is we make fun of women's college basketball all the time.
Yep.
Because it's the same teams. And this is kind of a little bit like that at this point.
And that's why I'm less interested in college football than I've been in recent years.
I'm randomly into it, because QB1 kind of gets me size, because I start Googling and looking up depth charts.
Speaking of which, Justin Fields named the starter at the Ohio State University after transferring from Georgia.
Love that kid.
I'm a Justin Fields guy.
After watching QB1, I'm rooting for him. All right, here we go. You name a team, I'll tell you if they're in the top 10.
Alabama.
They are ranked number 2 in the country after a 14-1 season.
Clemson.
They are number 1 in the country after going 15-0.
Georgia.
The Fighting Georgia Bulldogs are number 3 in the country, 11-3.
Lot of variety. I'll say Ohio State.
Number 5 at 13-1. You've correctly named 4 of the top 5 with your first 4 guesses.
Oklahoma.
You've now named all 5 of the top 5. Number 4 in the country. They too have a transfer. Remember who their starter is?
From Oklahoma? At Oklahoma? No.
I just saw this last night. He came over from Alabama.
Oh, Jalen Hurt.
You are
Hurt.
Correct.
Yeah.
Hurts.
Hurts
Hurt. Rental car. I think it's
Hurts or Hurt.
I think it's plural. There's an S there.
It's something Hurts right now.
Can we get
now.
College
Tim?
Football DAR, please?
Hurt is the 49ers wide receiver. Hurts is the Oklahoma former Alabama
QB. There
you go. Thank you, DAR.
Jalen Hurts.
All right, you're 5 for 5. You are killing.
I'm 5 for 5.
By the way, Thom spun out of the game into DAR and now back into the
DAR
game.
DAR updated. Okay, right. Here we go. Back to the game.
So, 5 for 5. By the way, you are destroying right now.
Yeah, again, I'm not looking at anything. This is the point. There's no variety. Michigan.
Michigan is number 7. You're 6-for-6.
All right. Now I'm starting to get into the hazy
territory. This is where we're a little bit...
not as sure.
I still have full faith in you.
I don't know if I'm going to get all 10, but we'll get close. How about Penn State?
Ooh, they're off the rails. They are number 15 at 9-4.
Oh, man, wow. That's,
can you believe that?
Yeah, I can.
You haven't said Maryland yet.
No, and you'll keep waiting for that.
Okay.
I'll say Auburn.
Auburn is a big fat no.
No.
Number 16
Ooh.
For Auburn. Back end of the top 10 giving you a little trouble right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, give me a little issue.
I want to get you back on track. Two SEC schools still in the picture.
Still remain. Okay. You said Auburn. It's in Alabama. LSU.
LSU is
obviously
number 6. Should have
gotten there first.
Last
year. Should have gotten there first. Okay. Mississippi State.
They're not in the picture.
Mm.
Our buddy, his name's not Seabiscuit. What's his name? What's that guy? Why did I think his name was
Seabiscuit? What the hell?
I don't know. I almost said, I'm like, Seabiscuit. The guy who loves Mississippi State. The Bulldogs. The guy that came on
Stingray.
The show.
Oh, Stingray.
Stingray. Thank you. Who the hell is Seabiscuit?
A horse. Isn't that horse dead?
I don't know why I said
I feel like
that.
The horse is long dead.
Okay, who else you got?
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Stingray right here.
Texas A&M.
No, I'm just going to start helping you a little bit.
All right, help me out.
SEC school. Very annoying thing they do in the crowd constantly.
Florida?
Florida is number 8 in the country.
I would have guessed Florida didn't make it back because they can't move the football forward with offense.
Insufferable head coach known for the type of pants that he wears.
I said Michigan already.
Oh, you got Michigan.
Yeah.
No, this is another one. No,
a different
kidding.
Guy?
I forgot about that. All right, so then we've got...
I have no Pac-12 schools out of principle.
Two left, so you got 9 and 10. You need to know independent, it's always overrated.
Notre Dame.
Yep. And number 10, I'll say, program that's always, this is their year again. It's been 10 years and they're back, baby. Charlie Strong, now it's the Tom Herman.
Oh, it's Texas.
Texas.
They will lose a game that's inexplicable. Most likely to Maryland, honestly.
I was
going to
say, it'll be the Fox Sports 1 coverage of a Maryland game in September. They will lose that game.
I didn't think Texas would be there. So it shows you how much variety there is. But I named teams in the top 16.
But, I mean, you just drew, I think, 6 straight. Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, LSU, Michigan, Florida, Notre Dame, and Texas, your top 10. The only team that really surprised me, and this is also a guy that I know very little about college football going into the year, Utah is ranked 14th after losing 5 games last year. That seems really high. I don't know enough about them, but apparently they're going to be great. And the other team that was a little bit surprising
the
in
Utes.
The top 25 is Nebraska, ranked 24th. They were 4-8 last year.
They're supposedly on the way up.
4-8 last year.
Supposedly.
They got to go way, way, way up.
Yeah. Remember when they were great all the time?
Eric Crouch. That was it. There was a time. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll put a bow on the show. Look ahead to tonight in sports next.
Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. We love these guys. They are awesome. Here's why. Many moons ago, we called Window Nation because I said, I'm tired of paying these utility bills. I'm tired of these windows that were leaking heat into my condo. And here's what they did. They showed up. Knowledgeable salesperson. We had all the different requirements from my HOA. No problem with the experience of Window Nation. Now I pay less every month for my utility bills. I got myself a tax credit, and I increased the value of my home. These guys were great start to finish, GP.
Anniversary sale is an absolute must. I had a buddy that just bought a place, needed some new windows, and I sent him to Window Nation, and he took advantage of this. 60% off all styles of windows, 0% for 60 months, same as cash. Offers only valid for a few weeks, though. So 60% off all style windows, 0% for 60 months. Look, we're not going to be endorsing a company that we didn't work with, we didn't really like.
We love them.
Love Window Nation. A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau, 150,000 homeowners trust them, including us. They took care of us.
866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or windownation.com. Tell them Grant and Danny sent you.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get you a preview of the Nats and the Pirates before we get out of here. A couple of things to hit on. Some of the big stories today from around the country. Drew Rosenhaus said today that Antonio Brown's helmet concerns are safety related and that the wide receiver is all in with the Raiders. A little damage control. He has shown back up at the facility, so the Raiders can now answer more questions about Brown, and he is there again today. He appeared on ESPN's Get Up. So he's doing the media tour now after Mike Mayock put him and Brown on the clock yesterday.
This is Rosenhaus, not Antonio Brown.
No, this is Rosenhaus.
Rosenhaus.
He is on television talking about his client. Time for him to be all in or all out was what Mike Mayock said. And Rosenhaus Skyped in. Look at this video, by the way.
It's so
like
crazy.
A white painted wall behind him on his laptop like he's on some college
with
TV show.
With one little AirPod in.
He's got an AirPod. He's just a goofball. But he's a rich one who's got a lot of big-time powerful clients, one of whom is Antonio Brown. But he was on Get Up today, and that interview went about how you would have expected. Antonio Brown's trying to find a helmet that works. You mentioned the Ohio State Buckeyes have named Justin Fields their starting quarterback. If you are on the Danny Ruye, Grant Paulson Netflix plan, you know a lot about Justin Fields. He was season two star of QB1. This is my show on Netflix of choice right now. The third season just came out over the weekend. For those of you not familiar, essentially, they take three high school quarterbacks that are among the best in the country, five-star, four-star type recruits, and then the families basically just grants Netflix permission to follow these kids around and be all over them and their lives for months on end. So they're in all the meeting rooms. They're in the classrooms with them. They're walking around the hallway at school. They are, like, filming them as they wake up and brush their teeth in their houses.
It's amazing.
The access is sensational, and it helps you to learn about and kind of fall in love with these guys. I was a Georgia Bulldog fan, as you know. We did an exercise on the show to pick my team many years ago before Jake Fromm got there. But watching QB1, I was like, oh, my gosh, Jake Fromm, this is the dude. And it had come out after he'd played as a freshman. Now Justin Fields is kind of the newest next big star in football at Ohio State. He could be the next Haskins getting drafted in the top 20 somewhere to go start at quarterback. So that's season two of this show. Season three just came out.
It is terrific, is what I would say. And it's different than some of the other, all-access kind of shows. And it's really, each episode's about 30 minutes. So they go quick. And the formula has been one superstar, one like highly touted megastar that you can just tell is going to be a future pro. One guy that has some variance to him, but has been really successful. And then one kind of, honestly, just okay quarterback. Just to remind you that there's different scales to this thing, right? Because it's a big deal in whatever little town where some guy's going to go be like the number two at Wake Forest, or he might have a shot to play at Elon, or place, you know, stuff like that. And that's awesome, too. I'm telling you, it is great theater. The show is super well done. I don't rank it quite as high as Last Chance U, just in terms of pure entertainment value, but it is excellent. It is very, very well done. Highly recommend.
Steph Curry, tip of the cap, commendable accomplishment for him as he's made the lives of a bunch of people better at Howard, and he has established for them a golf team, bringing back their golf team for the first time in decades. He gets the assist here. Announcement was made today. He was in D.C. at Howard for the announcement. He will financially support the Bison's golf team for the next 6 years. Historically black university in the nation's capital, they will have men's and women's teams in place for the 2021 seasons, something that until Curry stepped in, he loves golf, has a huge passion for it. I don't really know all the machinations of how Howard became the choice or how this all played out, but it is an incredible story. He said, quote, this is the Howard Athletic Director, Kerry Davis, "This is one of the most generous gifts in the history of Howard University." Very, very cool.
It's awesome. No downside to me. Other than, you know, it's I wish it wasn't golf, but that's fine too. You know what I mean?
Like, I love that.
It's great.
No downside to me. No full stop. .. Ellipses. Wait, take your breath. Okay. Other than it's golf.
Yeah, just it's golf. And
you
I think
had
it's
to
so,
get that
it's
in
so,
there.
It's such a big waste. But it's cool. It's
I'm sure it's a waste.
It is. It's a waste. I'd rather just give scholarships to kids. But it's fine. They're going to be hitting the golf balls, and that's really cool.
That is hilarious.
I'm doing a bit. It is awesome. It is one of the coolest things I heard. Where there's nobody can complain.
I will give away tickets to Nats Park Top Golf Crush in just a second. Speaking of golf, which I know that you love, I will be there hitting those golf balls. You're welcome to come. Join me if you'd like. I know you enjoy doing that. Nats Pirates tonight, 7:05 first pitch, first game of the series. Remember, Max Scherzer's back on Thursday. Joe Ross gets the start for Washington. Trevor Williams pitches for Pittsburgh. He's had a rough go of it. Both of these guys, obviously, ERA's over 5, but Joe Ross trending in the right direction. three straight really good outings. Juan Soto comes in leading the Nats with 28 homers. Anthony Rendon is closing in on 100 RBI. He's got 97 on the year. If all goes well, he'll leave Pittsburgh having knocked in 100 on the campaign for the Nationals.
Pittsburgh, in no uncertain terms, is terrible right now. They were in the thick of it in the NL Central for a while, for a couple months.
Do you know they lost at one point recently? I don't know what the current stretch is. It's not much better than this. They lost 21 out of 26 games.
Well, that fits with their 7-27 second half.
Yep.
7-27. In no uncertain terms, beat the brakes off this team. Smack them around. You're going one way. They've already arrived at their destination at the exact opposite place. Wax them.
They've suspended a couple of dudes, by the way.
Yeah.
One's their bullpen coach. The other is a reliever for multiple games at a time because of basically shouting matches and berating people in the clubhouse and fights, little infighting that's gone on.
It's not going well.
They're in peril at this juncture. And one last thought, RIP Cedric Benson.
Sad, man.
Sad story yesterday in his mid-30s. I remember watching him in college and loving him at Texas and then in his young NFL career with the Bears. He died in a motorcycle accident way, way, way too soon. That's tough.
Yeah, no easy way to discuss that. That's just really sad, man. So I saw a network, I forget which one it was, and I apologize for this. They were going to run 24 hours of great Cedric Benson Texas games, kind of in tribute to that.
It's got to be Big 12, right?
It was either Big 12 Network or ESPNU or something like that. So apologies if
I
don't have it right, but I thought that was really neat.
Good on him. Topgolf Crush, let's do it. Caller number 10, 800-636-1067. I'll see you there. You're winning a pair of tickets to Topgolf Crush. Nats Park, Thursday through Sunday this weekend. Now's your chance to tee it up at Nats Park with glowing targets on the field, private bays, top tracer tech. Tickets are on sale now at nationals.com, courtesy of Topgolf. Details at thefandc.com/contests. Grab our audio, anything from the show, including Joe Theismann today at thefandc.com when we're done.
Chad's got a fun show today. In no uncertain terms, Grant, Trevor Williams may have been the best second-half pitcher in the National League last year. This year just hasn't gone right. What is the story with Trevor Williams? 4.5 hours.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.